Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly. I'm Paul Charchian. My co-host, as usual, Brian Johnson.
What's up, Charch?
Hey, great to have you here. It's a beautiful spring weekend in Minnesota. Hope it's fantastic wherever you are as well. The next series of shows are going to be dedicated to rookies, Brian.
Yeah, it's about that time. Let's get this draft going.
Let's get the draft going. I know. It's you know, it always feels like there's a long, long lead up to the draft, but I think it's just because we care and, you know, we spend 2 and 3 months planning for it and looking forward to it.
Now, do you think these rookies, because I think we got to touch on this, that we're playing 17 games now, right, Church?
Yeah.
Now, imagine going into your, starting a new company, and they're like, well, you're going to have to work an extra
week.
Or, yeah, or an extra, at least half 6% hour per day. Yeah, right, something like that. I think they're excited about this, or, they're young, they should be, right?
Yeah, they're going to be
young
fine.
Young go-getters.
Yeah, they're going to be fine. I mean, look, this is the players negotiated this themselves. So, you know, I don't know if the owners took advantage of the players a year ago at this time when they negotiated this deal in the depths of the pandemic or not, but
quick hit.
Here we are.
Thumbs up or thumbs down from a fantasy perspective on
down.
The
seven.
Yeah, I'm with you. It skews with the records. We love talking records, and those are certainly pertinent to fantasy football. And man, these guys, they essentially put their lives on the line for the sake of
these players. They're highly compensated. Yeah, and they know what they're getting into.
Yes,
There's no surprise for them that this is a contact game. But, you know, we already have a lot of injuries and we already have a lot of situations where guys miss a lot of time. And I always felt like 16 games was plenty of time to figure out who was the champion of your league. And, you know, I didn't feel like there was a real problem. Like, well, you know, so-and-so won the championship, but if we'd have gone one more week, you know, then the outcome would have been different.
And with 16 weeks, really, the best team in your league usually gets screwed anyway, too, right? Those 2 weeks are plenty of time to let the best team in your league just go belly up.
But, it does happen a lot that way. So this week, we're going to talk about rookie quarterbacks, and we'll turn our attention to different positions in each of the weeks leading up to the draft. And then, obviously, after the draft, we'll do a series of shows about where these guys all landed up and what we think their fantasy value is going to be like. And so for these shows, before the draft, it's largely about familiarizing ourselves with the fantasy notable players that we think can make a difference, especially in short order with their teams. Beginning at the quarterback position. So we're going to hit on six guys: Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, and the sixth guy is just a favorite of mine, Davis Mills, who I'm really intrigued by.
There's the big five, and then your sixth quarterback is TBD, but I'm with you on Mills. He's intriguing.
Right? Yeah. And I'm not guaranteeing he's going to be an impact player in the NFL, but he's got the upside to do that if things break right for him. And we'll talk more about Davis Mills at the end of this. Let's begin with Trevor Lawrence. Brian, everybody knows that he's, you know, barring a shock, going to go to Jacksonville with the first overall pick. Let's talk about him and what he'll bring to the table, presumably for Jacksonville.
Yeah, 99.9% chance he ends up with the Jaguars. And if he does, he should be the starter.
Yes.
Right out of the gate. Sorry, Gardner Minshew and all you Minshew Bobos. And some exciting weapons in Jacksonville. In DJ Chark, the newly acquired Marvin Jones, the vastly underrated Marvin Jones, as
always
we harped on for weeks. Laviska Shenault, James Robinson at running back. And, I mean, at this point, Trevor Lawrence, we know he checks all the boxes on paper. Size and the metrics in college, the winningest quarterback against Power Five schools, and he's played like twice as many as the other quarterback prospects. He's just grade A blue chip prospect. What can you say?
Yeah. So I think he's more, you know, at this time last year, we're talking about Joe Burrow as being, you know, an astounding blue chip prospect, which he was. But Lawrence has done it for longer and seems even more battle tested and more likely and Burrow's turned out great, more likely to be headed for a successful NFL career than Burrow was.
Yeah, and the enticing thing with the Jaguars from a fantasy perspective is they're not a great team. Maybe they're on their way up, but it tends to have their offense chasing points more often than not. So
it's a great point.
Right now, Lawrence is going off the board in best ball leagues, redraft leagues, like quarterback 16. He's going right after Matt Ryan's, the Joe Burrows, Ryan Tannehill's, Matt Stafford, and before Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield. So he's settled right into that fantasy relevant territory.
For a guy who's not all that mobile, I mean, he's mobile, but he's not like the other guys we're going to talk about, right? He's not like Justin Fields and Trey Lance. That's a pretty high ranking for a guy who's going to make most of his points with his arm as a rookie in Jacksonville.
And he's certainly viable as a backup, but I want him as my backup if I have like Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen as my starter, right? I think the ceiling is very high for Lawrence in his first year as a rookie, just from a redraft perspective. But the floor is also very scary. So if I'm rolling out a Matthew Stafford or Baker Mayfield as my QB1, I don't know if Trevor Lawrence is the backup I really want. I want like an elite option in one quarterback leagues if I'm contemplating Lawrence.
So let's talk about his longer term outlook with Jacksonville for Dynasty and Empire League players for Trevor Lawrence. The offense is not the problem so much in Jacksonville. It's a horrible defense, and he does have some weapons around him, and mostly young weapons. No, not so much Marvin Jones, but other people around him that suggest that there could be a long and reasonably good run for Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. And as we'll talk through the rest of the guys, I don't know that I would take Trevor Lawrence first in a dynasty draft.
No,
because of the running prowess we're going to get with these other guys.
In a startup, not just a rookie, draft, but in a dynasty startup, his value is up 50% from redraft. He's in the quarterback 8-9 range. I mean, of course, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert, Dak Prescott, and then but he's right in the mix there with Russell Wilson. If you're starting a startup league, Russell Wilson, Joe Burrow, or Trevor Lawrence, he's right. If those three guys, he's right in that mix in the top 10.
Let's go to Zach Wilson, presumably the second quarterback expected to be taken in the draft. That'd be by the Jets.
We should say, so Jacksonville, of course, Jets at number 2.
Yeah.
Niners probably at 3.
Yep.
And then Falcons, Panthers, Broncos are the real quarterback needy teams.
Yeah. And we'll talk about when we get to pick 4, we'll talk about that a little bit more. But pick 2, I don't think the Jets would be moronic not to take a quarterback here, even if they love Sam Darnold. And by the way, nothing bugs me more than teams that are totally cool with having competitions at every position. Oh, but not quarterback. No. Oh no, the frail psyche of our quarterbacks. If they do draft Zach Wilson here, everybody just assumes they have to move Sam Darnold. My feeling is, why? Sam Darnold might still be a good quarterback. You're going to get a third round pick or maybe a second round pick for Sam Darnold. He's worth more to just keep and make sure you know what you've got in him, because Darnold has flashed moments of greatness, and he's been in such a bad position over his entire career with terrible coaching and a bad offensive line and few good receivers. Man, if you're the Jets, just keep both guys and let them battle it out and see what you've got, and maybe you have two great quarterbacks. Fine.
Yeah, how many NFL teams have two starting caliber quarterbacks on their team?
Not enough.
And Darnold's still in that range.
What a luxury.
So, if the Jets do not take a quarterback or trade down from 2.
And I guess the worst case, I said the worst thing happens, they're both good. I guess really the worst thing happens is they're both bad, but still you needed to draft another quarterback to find out one of them was bad.
You got a great asset for trade purposes in the future. So
you do. So Zach Wilson presumed the to go to the Jets, and even if he doesn't, fascinating guy. And I got to warn you, when we talk about Zach Wilson, you're going to think we're talking about Patrick Mahomes, because the skill set is really similar. But to be clear, obviously, he's going to have to prove a lot before he's even remotely on par with Patrick Mahomes. Skill set is similar.
Did his dad pitch for the Twins, though?
Probably not.
He's missing that from his bag.
So Zach Wilson has a special NFL caliber arm, and better than that. I mean, his arm ability alone could put him in the top five of NFL quarterbacks if he realizes his potential. The arm is fantastic. He has a shocking ability to throw deep strikes, and not even with planted feet, much like Mahomes, who can throw, you know, crazy accurate deep passes while on a dead run. There is some of that with Zach Wilson, too. He doesn't have to plant his feet to throw deep balls and accurately. And just effortlessly, he just flicks his wrist, and the ball's going 45 yards downfield. He had a 65-yard pass in a game last year against, I think it was Western, it was Wyoming or somebody. And he just made it look, it just effortless, just zing,
now,
65
yards. Do you worry, out of BYU, of course, Zach Wilson is a Mormon in the Big Apple. Is that a little too much?
Yeah, right.
And not just to mention the
culture
Jets
shock
in general.
Just culture shock,
the,
right.
The football culture shock of going to the Jets, but yeah. He didn't seem like he would be the consensus number two, but he has it's leaning that way for Zach.
It is. Incredibly efficient release with very little windup as well. So he's got the quick release, which we love that. It's just that many fewer sacks, the ability to get rid of the ball quickly. Super smart guy, you know, book smart. You know, he's an excellent student. By all accounts, he ingests the playbook extremely well. So there's a lot to like about Zach Wilson. The things that we're going to look out for are some minor mechanical issues, like holding the ball too high. He holds the ball up almost at helmet or ear level.
Like a rocket launcher almost.
Yeah, a little bit, right? So they'll work on that. Some people point out that he's playing behind an elite offensive line that meant that he didn't, you know, he had the luxury of a lot of time. And that maybe, you know, that has skewed a little bit of the productivity that he's had. And injuries limited him to really 1 year of high-level play. But what you see when you look at Zach Wilson's games are just remarkable. If he does go to the Jets, Brian, Corey Davis, Denzel Mims, and Jamison Crowder all get a big bump here. And I think this is a great opportunity for Dynasty Empire Leaguers, Keeper Leaguers, to target those guys now, especially the Denzel Mims owner right now is like, ugh, I blew that pick last year. There could be a chance that Zach Wilson to Denzel Mims is going to be a great combination for a long time.
I agree.
So I'd be interested in picking up those guys on the cheap right now in Dynasty and Empire Leagues. You know, for Wilson, in terms of redraft, I think he's just a backup, I think, in his rookie year. Now, rookies can become starters, yeah. Like Justin Herbert, right, and Joe Burrow. Those guys were fantasy starters, and he has the possibility to do that. It's a little bit of Jets bias here. I don't know for sure that in year one the Jets are going to turn it around enough for him to be fantasy viable on a regular basis, but Zach Wilson should get drafted.
Yeah, a guy, if you're, of course, in a one-quarterback league, and depending on how deep your league is, but at least 12 to 14 teams, if you're, again, drafting a guy like Patrick Mahomes, Josh mm-hmm. Allen, one of these bigger-name quarterbacks that you're essentially going to start every week but their bye week, and you're going to, you know, just fade quarterback the rest of the way until the last round, Zach Wilson's a great candidate.
All right, let's go to pick number three. This is San Francisco, or quarterback number three. San Francisco holds the third pick. It's going to come down. Everybody believes it's going to come down to Justin Fields or Mac Jones. The people who seem closest to the Niners are all saying Mac Jones, which surprises me a little bit because I think I would pick Justin Fields, but both guys, very intriguing. Let's talk Justin Fields first and break his game down for us a little bit.
All right, Justin Fields out of Ohio State, who doesn't have the best track record when it comes to producing pro quarterbacks, starting with Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah,
but you know, Jones.
Yeah,
Terrell Pryor.
That doesn't necessarily mean they can't play. I just don't think that stuff matters that much.
No, he's the most intriguing prospect probably to ever come out of the Ohio State University.
When it comes to
quarterback.
It's been a long time anyway.
He proved his toughness in the college playoffs last year, essentially died in the semifinal. But he broke like two ribs, came back and played in the championship. They lost, I think. I'm not great with college football, but Fields, an amazing athlete. And we'll get to how he's a good thrower of the football, but the all-time quarterback 40-yard dash times. Now, his isn't combine official, Justin Fields.
It's but, pro day official.
4.44 for Justin Fields. And next up was Russell Wilson at 4.55, Cam Newton 4.59, same as Jalen Hurts. So an elite runner.
Elite runner. Elite. You're getting wide prospect. Receiver speed out of the quarterback position with Justin Fields.
But he proved he could throw the ball pretty well last year. Here's the percentage of total passing yards from run, pass option plays, and screen passes last year. Amongst, so, you know, cheapy yards. Let's
right,
call them that.
Right, right.
Trevor Lawrence, 27% of his yards came from RPOs, screen passes. Mac Jones, 22.5%. Then Zach Wilson, 12%. Trey Lance, 11%. Dead last, which is good in this regard.
Right, because he's throwing downfield.
Justin Fields, 8.5% of his yards came from RPOs and screen passes. So
That's great.
He is a viable quarterback. And right now in redraft, he's going a little ahead of Zach Fields. He's in right around QB2 range, you know, a backup quarterback in one quarterback, 12 team leagues at QB24, right behind Daniel Jones, Tua, Ben Roethlisberger, and right before guys like Jameis Winston and Jared Goff, and that seems about right.
I think it's too low because Fields is going to run and run well in this league.
Whether it's the Jets or the Niners, yeah, he's going to play immediately.
And he's going to play, right? We assume the Niners.
We assume. Yeah. But yeah, when it comes to Dynasty, he pretty undervalued here too. He's, well, maybe not. Quarterback 12, that's up there. I mean, he's right behind Aaron Rodgers, who is 16 years his senior at this point. But on the long-term upside, outside of Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields has the most, I feel like, outside of Mac Jones and Trey Lance.
So now for the 40, if it is the 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo's still there, and I think, you know, there's a good chance Garoppolo starts the season for the Niners, whether they go Fields or they go Mac Jones. And so there may have to be, you may just have to be patient on that to play itself out. The presumption is that Garoppolo will lose the job sooner or later, but we are only one season removed from Garoppolo bringing the team to the Super Bowl. So it's not a certainty that will happen, but we, considering what the 49ers paid to move up, everybody assumes that they ultimately will make the switch to whichever quarterback they end up drafting.
From a redraft perspective, though, way better for Fields to go to the Niners than the Jets. This year alone.
Kyle Shanahan? You
exponentially better, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, Shanahan's, I think he's just an offensive, he's an offensive wizard and can get production out of guys that have no business getting that kind of production. So we've talked a lot about Justin Fields or Mac Jones. What I want to do is take a break, come back, and let's talk about Mac Jones. And, you know, because he could go as high as 3 here to San Francisco. And then if he doesn't go here, he could actually fall quite a bit. So we'll talk through the Fields-Jones debate a little bit here and familiarize ourselves with Mac Jones when we come back. Welcome back. Paul Charchi and Brian Johnson with you. Fantasy Football Weekly. We're going through the rookie quarterbacks, getting a little more familiar, deep dives with these guys. Let's talk about Mac Jones. He does not have the sensational arm that we've seen with the first three guys that we've talked about, the eye-popping arm traits. But super productive player, super poised, and as NFL-ready as anybody outside of Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, he might be the most polarizing prospect when it comes to quarterbacks.
I think that's right.
There's a lot of love and a lot of hate.
I agree.
On both ends of the spectrum for Mac Jones, who has good size, 6'3". Like you said, not an elite arm, but a pretty good arm. His career passing grade versus the blitz against these other draft prospects. In college, Mac Jones had the highest grade against the blitz, 92.4, according to Pro Football Focus, ahead of Trevor Lawrence at number 2 and Zach Wilson at 3.
Yeah.
His career passing grade against Power 5 teams was the highest among the quarterback prospects. He was first at 94.7 QB rating against Power 5 teams against just above Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. So, yeah, it's some people are going to hate the pick, whatever team he, if he ends up on, quote-unquote, your team. Mm-hmm. Some people are going to love it and some are going to hate it. But this is really, he seems to have all the tools to be a great pro quarterback, but it's going to be, show me what you got, Mac. But, yeah, it's going to be to the Jets or to the 49ers, one would suspect.
So for Mac Jones, from a fantasy standpoint, he doesn't have nearly, to me, the sizzle that these other guys do. Because the mobility, redraft, the mobility is not good. You know, he's not going to have the rushing that you're going to get out of Trey Lance or Justin Fields or even some of the scrambling ability for a Zach Wilson. But, you know, he is a good, accurate passer. I just don't think he's going to have the bananas upside. He's going to feel like his upside is like what Philip Rivers gave us over the course of his career.
Yeah, in redrafts, you're not drafting him. He might be a waiver wire pickup later on in the year. And in Dynasty, you're not drafting him as a with QB1 upside in a super flex league, which is what we play primarily. He's got QB2 upside for sure. Like you said, a Philip Rivers, maybe a Matt Stafford.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Who wasn't cursed by Detroit for the majority of his career, but that's kind of his ceiling. But not a Mahomes like ceiling, like you said. And he doesn't have the mobility to be a Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson type prospect
either. All right, let's go to our fifth quarterback that we're going to break down, and that's Trey Lance. Lance should go fourth or fifth among quarterbacks. And there's a chance that the top five picks of this draft will be quarterbacks. Now, in the NFL, there's never been more than the top three picks have never been. There's never been more than three quarterbacks taken in the first three picks. So that's what I'm trying to. I think what I'm trying to say. There's never been four in a row, and there's never been five in a row. There could be all five if Atlanta either moves their pick or takes quarterback. They should take quarterback. And then Cincinnati at five might deal their pick. Because somebody might want Mac Jones, especially if Mac Jones goes 3 to San Francisco. As you mentioned, he's super polarizing. So San Francisco loves him, and they take him at 3. That pushes Justin Fields and Trey Lance down to 4 and 5. Now somebody's going to pay Cincinnati to move up to that spot. You mentioned the most obvious candidates, Carolina and Denver. But don't forget, Philadelphia doesn't seem totally settled with Jalen Hurts. And they may end up making a move because they don't have far to go. And then there's, of course, New England. They need a quarterback.
Yep.
So those are all some trade possibilities up to 4 or 5 for Atlanta or Cincinnati. And again, especially if Mac Jones goes at pick 3. So let's talk about Trey Lance. Fascinating prospect who has as much upside as anybody in this entire draft, including Trevor Lawrence. He is an incredible athlete with all the raw skills to be an elite quarterback in the NFL if everything breaks his way.
Out of North Dakota State. So
North Dakota State.
Lesser competition.
Absolutely.
At the highest level.
Schedule.
Yep,
so,
which, but still.
People are going to hold that against him. People are going to hold the failures of Carson Wentz against him.
Same school.
You know, right or wrong. And amazing arm strength. He throws 60-plus yards frequently. Strongest arm in this rookie class. And there's a rookie class loaded with arm talent. He's got the strongest arm here. He had a massive ADOT, average depth of target, of 11.5 yards. That is massive. So when Trey Lance threw the ball, he threw downfield. Remarkable running ability for Trey Lance as well.
Now, if people are going to give Lance, give him a hard time about Carson Wentz, I want him to think a little further back to Steve Air McNair out of Alcorn State.
Mm-hmm.
Another small I don't let him call it D2 anymore, but back then it was D2. So if you're going to compare Fields to, Lance to Wentz, also compare him to McNair because the smaller schools can come out.
You can do it. Now, Trey Lance's running ability is really special. He weighs 225 pounds. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
Not quite linebacker big, but he is a big dude. His running reminds me of Cam Newton's running. You know, a guy his size shouldn't be as fast as he is. He is fast, and he's got some wiggle with his running. He is going to be a fantasy powerhouse if he can get the passing to a point where he stays on the field as a good passer. Trey Lance never lost a game as a starter. He makes very few bad decisions, and that's awfully rare for a young kid. Now, maybe part of that is, and this is, you mentioned earlier, small school defenses. So maybe it wasn't challenged that way, and he will make more mistakes, obviously, at the next level. He only averaged 18 dropbacks per game. That's
not a lot.
No. Now, it's because NDSU's got is a run-heavy program, and because he ran a lot. So they didn't ask him to pass all that often, and so we haven't seen a ton of his passing. The biggest issue, though, accuracy. His accuracy is fair, and that's something that doesn't always get better, Brian. Sometimes it does. Josh Allen's accuracy was awful, and it got way better as he got older. So it can get better. His mechanics are going to be, passing mechanics are going to need a little help as well. I just think the perfect spot for Trey Lance is Atlanta, where he learns and he can spend at least a year on the bench and work out the negatives that we've talked about with his game.
I agree. Yeah, he's not, he's probably the rawest of the big five quarterback prospects, but might have the highest ceiling.
I think he does have the highest ceiling if everything breaks right for him. So really, really excited to see what Trey Lance ends up doing at the next level. I think he should get drafted. Depends a lot on where he goes. Again, ideally as a backup. But if he's not a backup and he's pressed into service in his first year, he's absolutely draftable because of the running ability he's going to give you. Better runner than Jalen Hurts, I think. And Jalen Hurts was a fantasy startable quarterback for his three or four games at the end of the year.
Yeah, and then Lance is going slightly ahead of Mac Jones in dynasty formats, but behind him in redraft. He's the one quarterback where you don't expect much from Lance this year, but his long-term prospects,
really good,
way more enticing.
Really good. All right, let's talk about my most intriguing quarterback in this draft, and I think it's Davis Mills from Stanford. So he's grading out. People think he's going to go roughly third round. Quarterback. Some team always needs a quarterback and ends up taking him early, but watch out for Pittsburgh, end of the second round.
All right.
They have to get a contingency plan for next year in place, and Davis Mills might be that guy. I think I'm calling my shot right now. Pittsburgh's selection, end of the second round. Davis Mills. If I get it right, there'll be some peacocking on this show if I do get it right.
Are there odds you can take on this?
No, I don't think you can. It's not like it's bettable.
A quick peacock on your this is NBA talk, your Anthony Edwards Rookie of the Year prediction from a couple months ago.
From early February when he was 20-1. Yeah. That was a good one.
Very nice.
Here's the deal on Davis Mills from Stanford. He's only played 11 games due to injuries and COVID, and he came out of high school rated as a five-star recruit by, like, every service. They all loved him.
And he's like 6'4". He's like your prototype
size. Prototype size. Everybody wanted him. He threw for 6,000 yards in high school, and he scored 89 touchdowns in high school between passing and running. That's Davis Mills.
I can't even do that per game, Matt. That's like...
I don't know.
It's like four touchdowns a game, something like that at least. Probably five.
Super poised in the pocket. He really looks comfortable. He looks like he's played there for, even though he only had the 11 starts. You look at him, he does not look in any way skittish about that role. He's got good arm strength. It's not a cannon. Davis Mills is not, not one of the other quarterbacks we talked about, like Zach Wilson and Trey Lance that way, but he has good arm strength, highly accurate passer to all parts of the field. And I love when you can get that combination of good arm strength and high accuracy, man, that is a real indicator of NFL success potential. He's a decisive passer with quick release, and I like that about him as well. Not somebody that's going to be, sitting in the pocket waiting too long, absorbing sacks or winding up with a windmill throw and then, getting sacked halfway through the release. There are some issues, of course, for a player who's only started 11 issues. He needs to set his feet for maximum accuracy. He has made mental mistakes, and he's had bad throws, and he has basically no mobility. So Davis Mills, I think a very interesting player. And, Ben Roethlisberger hasn't had any real mobility for most of his career either.
Not really.
The Steelers know how to work around a quarterback who doesn't bring that to the table. So Davis Mills,
intriguing. Yeah, the top five, the guys we discussed before, Davis Mills, are pretty much set in stone, but the number six is up in the air, but I'm with you on Team Mills.
Yeah.
QB6.
Davis Mills. It'll be fascinating to see where he goes, and in the right landing spot, I think he's going to be a nice dark horse for sleepers, for Dynasty Empire Leagues, where if you can sit on a guy, develop him, wait a year or two, Davis Mills may be your player. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah.
It's been fun breaking down quarterbacks. Next week, I believe we're going to do running backs next week. We'll find out for sure, but I believe we're going to do running backs. And it's a crowded running back crop. Man, starting in like second, third round, there's going to be a lot of good running backs who are going to drop.
Thankfully, a few of these guys didn't declare last year. They could have.
They could have,
because they were in a really thin class, but it's pretty meaty. So
it is very
fun to talk about.
Can't wait for that. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate all of you who take the time to subscribe, rate, and review Fantasy Football Weekly. We'll be back next week for more then.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.